You're listening to a Countout Podcast. Exactly. That's the new and improved ISC theme song, debuting first time.
No more old and busted.
No, exactly.
More old and busted.
No more of my shitty fucking vocals every time. Yeah. Yep. Owen at Riff Your Pod coming through again with an absolute banger. So absolutely stoked with that.
Ichiban Sweet Cast Go.
Yeah.
Love exactly. That shit.
It's fucking dope. It all works. Very happy with it. So we've got so much shit to talk about because it is what we're going to call Despy's Big Week.
Despy's Big Week. There's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the MCU, there's this thing called Fury's Big Week. Mm-hmm. And that's when Iron Man, the beginning of Thor, and Incredible Hulk all take place in the same week.
Oh wow.
It's like a crazy like 72 hours for Nick Fury. So that's Fury's big week.
He's just fucking over it by the time it's going down.
That's why the start at fucking in Iron Man 2, he's just like, motherfucker.
By that point, he's well and truly over everybody's bullshit.
Yeah, so he is just fucking behind the scenes pulling strings, and we've got Despy out having his big week, mm-hmm. pulling strings everywhere, making moves,
absolutely,
making friends, kissing Dino,
yeah,
you know, get everything.
We can
everything.
Only, we're all
winning
jealous.
Belts,
yeah, winning
trophies,
belts. Absolutely, losing matches, but also
he lost a couple of matches. He won the important ones,
exactly, and it's the friends he made along the way really is what actually matters. So, yeah. I think it's all
absolutely.
Good. So, I think we've got so much to talk about. I don't think we're just going to do a match-by-match breakdown. There's plenty of people that are going to do that. I think we're just going to, like, pop up the shows on Cage Match and just kind of vibe through. I do think, though, that the very first thing we've got to talk about just before we get into the actual Dominion card, I just think we have to give, like, an overview of just Best of the Super Juniors and what we thought of it. I don't think we go through every match. There's way too much to talk about. And way too much to catch people up on, and we're well past that anyway. Lots of great places that you can find that as well. Check out Super Jaguars, check out WeWork Stiff. They're going to break it down for you in detail. How did you feel about the tournament though, man? How did you feel about the semi-finalists and then into the finals that are going to be on Dominion, and then obviously just our overall feelings of everything, really?
I was confused and confounded, like – we had talked to ourselves into believing that Despy was never going to be winning the Best of Super Juniors. We were like, oh, yeah. He's past it. He doesn't need it.
Yeah.
So like when I saw that they, you know, they had Taiji Shimori was one of the finalists and so is TJP.
Yeah.
I was like, oh fuck, are they really going to have, cause I thought that would be a great way for TJP to establish himself as this new captain of the mm-hmm. United Empire. I was like, are they really going to do this? Are they really going to give, TJP this big rub as the fucking main event of Dominion, like until Desperado's hand was in the air being raised by Red Shoes, I did not believe that he was going.
Yeah, because he was fighting Doki, and I was like, well, last year they did something crazy with Master Wado and Titan. Are we going to see like Doki TJP? Like I was like, is that the way it's going to go? And that was crazy. And the thing with New Japan, they're in this real big rebuilding stage they did to establish new stars. And you could see them going, look, TJP's a dude. He's been around for a long time. He was, you know, he trained under Inoki. He's a fucking good-looking dude. He has a history of winning tournaments. I mean, the dude won the Cruiserweight Classic in WWE. Why couldn't he win the Best of the Super Juniors? You know, you could see that argument playing out, and I was kind of a little bit scared it would happen because it wasn't really what I was looking for. And so, yeah, when it was announced that it was like I watched Despy and Doki live, and I was stoked that it was Despy that went through. But yeah, I wasn't sure who I wanted more, TJP or Bono, because as a rule, you know, Bone Soldier hasn't really super impressed me ever. He's had his moments, but I think without burying the lead and jumping straight to the main event of Dominion, I think it kind of worked out for the best.
Yeah, it definitely worked out for the best. I mean, I've got a couple of bones to pick with, you know, the semi-main, as far as, you know, Jon Moxley and his title reign is going, and his next challenger. We'll get to that in a second. But when it ended with Despy in the main event of the second biggest show of the year in New Japan, hand raised trophy, flag, streamers, I couldn't help it, man. I felt great. I felt great. I did not give a shit anymore. I was just like, yeah, Despy's the fucking best. He's the best. And then we had the Despy Envy next, the next day, Despy Invitational, where we got to see Despy, you know, goof around with Starlight Kid. That was awesome. We got to see, and Dino. Despy and Dino.
I love Dino. Dino's like my favorite wrestler, dude, at the moment.
Oh man, Despy and Dino, you know, coming out in their G-strings, kissing each other, kissing all the fans.
I had watched the DDT show where Despy hit the ring and gave Dino his invitation, right? And I knew just through the Japanese commentary and then kind of reading some stuff afterwards, I knew that he had essentially said to Dino, he's like, I wanted pheromones, which is like, you know, Dino's old team. I want pheromones back together and I want them to first Bullet Club or whatever, you know, House of Torture. I think that'd be amazing. And he's like, and why do you have two? And he's like, I'll do it. He's like, why do you have two invites? And he's like, well, you, I know pheromones don't exist anymore. I guess this is Dino's old tag team, but you can choose any partner you want. And Dino's like, any partner I want? And he's like, any. And he's like, okay, then. And then he goes. And then Dino comes out on his own. And then when, I mean, we have jumped ahead of Dominion now. We're just in the Desperado Despy Invitational. But him then pulling the rug out from Despy and making him his partner and then them leaving and like doing the costumes and shit together. I just thought it was so fun. Everybody in the entire place was absolutely eating it up.
Now, it's the first Dino match I've ever watched. I've seen clips of him before. But like, let me ask you, is it like anyone who volunteers gets kisses from Dino?
Not always. Sometimes he's not interested, or sometimes he prefers it if they are not interested in getting the kiss. For example, when we were in Japan earlier this year,
I was going to ask if you've gotten kisses from Dino.
I haven't, but my friend Mark got kissed by Dino. So he was sitting over to the right and we were to the left because he bought his tickets after us. Like we kind of had touched base. He's like, you going to Japan? We're like, yeah, we're going. He's like, I'm going to go then. And he's like, what are you doing? He ended up getting tickets to the thing. And then we're watching Dino come out and we're over here and we see like these finger guns come through the curtain, right? And then out comes Dino and he's pointing around like this. And then he points at Mark and Mark's like, ah, kind of thing. He doesn't know who Dino is. He has no idea. And he comes right up to Mark and he goes like this, like to high five him. And Mark goes, oh, high five. And then Dino just grabs him and kisses the living fuck out of him. I've got it as a GIF on my phone. I'll send it to you later. I won't slow the show down to do it now. He goes around and like people will be in the crowd. They'll have like a mask on and stuff. He'll just pull the mask off and kiss them. Like he doesn't care. He's out of control. I saw a documentary called The Wrestlers, and he talks about being an aggressively gay wrestler, like, and that's his whole vibe.
Aggressively gay is the best way to put it. And in June of 2024, Oh, and by the way, happy Pride, everybody. Thank you very much for coming to the sweetest cast.
Absolutely.
On God's green right happy now. Pride. So yeah, we're fucking digging it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, no, come here, give me a kiss. Love you. Sorry. I love you too. Hello, my love.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Donna's giving everybody kisses. She's kissing everybody Donna's like Dino everybody on the way out of the house.
Like Dino on the way out. Yeah. I love you, B. So yeah, this was chock full of DDT players, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. We're jumping ahead though, because this isn't in chronological order. We've jumped straight to the main event of Despy. We need to rewind a little bit because we have gotten carried away. Because Despy Invitational was so fun. But let's quickly just finish up our final thoughts on Best of the Super Juniors. I thought it was a really good tournament. I thought it was a fast-moving tournament. Was there a match that you can think of off the top of your head that was like a standout for you? Because for me, I really enjoyed Despy and Clark Connors was one for me, and I really enjoyed Driller and Robbie. I think they're
Driller and Robbie
two of my favorites.
I think the one for me. It's got to be Robbie's MVP again, yeah?
I mean, he's always MVP. MVP in my eyes and MVP in our heart, you know, like he's
in our hearts. Yeah, he's
just always works so hard.
Come like fourth or fifth in the block, but he's number one in our hearts.
Yeah,
right?
I would have loved, and I loved how dominant he was this year. And I was like, let's fucking go. I really wanted to see him like at least just like a semifinalist, you know. It's sad that it didn't quite end up there. I really think he deserves more than that, you know. Hopefully, we'll see it in the future. But yeah, he always is MVP of the tournament. He kills it, man.
But we know that when it comes to New Japan, you have to be patient.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Absolutely.
You just have to be patient. You just got to wait. It'll get there. And he's not being
overlooked. I mean, he then had a title match like just on the heel of that. Again, yes, they didn't win, but they also like to tell stories, right? Like, so they're not going to be like Robbie Eagles and the Young Lion immediately get the title. You know what I mean? Like they're going to have to work towards it.
I think, you know, they had said that if Fujita had won, that he'd be the youngest champion in New Japan history.
Really?
Like that's, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't know if it was youngest tag champion or like they were just like youngest dude to ever hold a belt, I think.
Wow. If he'd won it.
If he had won it.
Yeah.
So that's a thing.
And they'll be looking to hit that record while they can. You'd have to think, right? Like they're saying those things because they want you to know, you know.
Every one of the new young lions has something. Mm-hmm. Tsuji was the first one of them to win a major tournament. Yuya was the first one of them.
Oh yeah, well he's got the never belt now, but yeah, he wasn't the first to win a belt, was he? The first to win a belt was Yuya.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you get Fuge being the first one of them to, or the youngest one of them to hold a belt, that could be a thing. Each one of them is getting a certain thing, a little feather in their cap along the way.
Yeah, sure.
So, mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But I think Fuge did great work as well. And I think with everything that happens over the course of this weekend, I think Team DK is much better. Like for the entire weekend. But yeah, without getting too far into that, we're here to talk about Despy's big week. And so that means cracking into Dominion. Now, lots of fun matches, lots of, you know, fun tags and things like that. But in the interest of time, do you reckon we just roll straight into title matches on these things?
Yeah. Let's go ahead and do the Los Ingobernables. That's Bushiromu and Yota Tsuji defeating Tanahashi, Bolton, and Yano for the Never Six Mans. Then they gave it right back like a week later.
Yeah, exactly.
What is the point of that?
I'm not really sure what the point was, to be honest. I think This Dominion was a little bit weird because it was kind of building the Seoul show to be the payoff show. Like they wanted to sell tickets for that show. So there was a lot of runbacks or like things that set up that, which I feel like it's a weird choice because like I get it, you're selling tickets, but Dominion is like the second biggest show. That's where all like the payoffs would be. So I think they just did the title change to have something happen on Dominion because there was other things they weren't going to have happen. And then they just used Soul to flip it back where they want it to sit, which is with Tanahashi and Oleg and thing. And like you said, he's one of the newly graduated guys and they clearly really value Bolton. So they're going to, they're giving him a feather in the cap, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you like Jeff Cobb and Tomohiro Ishii?
Well, we've missed one. We missed Great Okan and Yuya for the King of Pro Wrestling, the Storm Catch Rules match.
I liked it. I think that anytime you can have Grapple Fuck Okan, mm-hmm. like that makes me happy.
He's good at
Yuya, like already losing that belt is kind of confusing. Mm. Like I said, the title changes are coming pretty fast and hard lately.
Yeah.
And I would really like for things to settle down and settle in a little bit. Mm. And I'm not saying you can't have titles change hands. I'm saying like there's been a lot of it.
Yeah.
There's
I think they're just trying to like build excitement, right? I think with everything that's sort of happened and the people that are left, I think they're just trying to be like, look, lots happens in the product, maybe. You know what I mean? Make it seem exciting. Titles are changing. Things are happening. New champions are always exciting. That kind of stuff. But I'm with you. I think that once they have all their pieces where they need to be, then you can kind of run with them a little bit.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope that's good.
Because I don't think Okan should have lost it initially. Like I feel like the picture was for him to sort of run with it a little bit. But then I think they just wanted to like do something, you know, for Yuya real quick. And so they just had to kind of get it back off him.
And Yuya's already challenged for like the Never and things like that as well. So like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I liked the rule set that they came up with this one where it was like a miniature pure match, like yeah. ROH mm-hmm. pure match. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was one of my more favorite matches on this card. This card did not impress me much.
Yeah. Shania Twain you.
Did not impress me much. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I thought Jeff Cobb and Ishii was good.
Loved Jeff Cobb and Ishii.
Let's talk about the tag team combination match.
Oh, like, just real quick. All. Did you catch Ishii just fucking pulling a Hurricane Rana in this match?
Like, oh, yeah, casually breaking out a Hurricane Rana when he's like fucking 50 years old.
And this one, like Amy was watching this with me and she... It really sort of made her enjoy Cobb. I don't want to say it's a full Amy 180 because she has liked him and disliked him at various times sort of over his time. But we were like left going, we love him in this space, in this world TV space, but also how fucking good Ishii was how we came off from it. They're so good together.
She's never been bad, man.
Yeah, he's so good. And when we talk about the G1 announcements, I'm kind of wanting him to win his little fucking block thing. But, yeah, jumping on to that four-way elimination tornado match with all the tags.
That was fucking it.
Yeah, this it was cool.
This was so much fun.
A lot happening.
There was so much happening because, okay, so it was Mikey Nichols and Shane Haste.
Yep.
With Robbie and Kosei Fujita at their sides. Mm-hmm. And Robbie and... Zach were there as well, wasn't
it? Yeah. And Fuge. It was all of them. All three of them were there.
That was a beautiful thing to see. If only Tito was there.
Yeah.
And Slex and everybody. Let's just get everybody on.
Get fucking, anyway. Jag in fucking all of them. It's worth noting that Tito's like the MLW champion at the moment or an MLW
middleweight.
Champion.
Middleweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
Tito's a bad motherfucker, dude.
Yeah, he's cool.
I love that guy. I mean, there's a reason they call him Bad Dude Tito.
Yeah.
Because he's bad, dude.
Bad.
So they defeated Chase Owens and Kenta, El Phantasmo and Hikuleo, and Bishamon in the same day.
Yeah. And like, TMDK eliminated Guerrillas of Destiny, Bishamon eliminated Bullet Club, and then TMDK eliminates Bishamon. So they actually knocked out two teams. In that.
Yeah.
They,
two sets of champions.
Exactly. It's impressive. So, technically Bullet Club were holding the title. So they didn't pin the Bullet Club champions.
Oh, no, you're right. Sorry. Yeah. I was thinking.
I'm hoping that's not like a fucking thing they used to have a rematch between Kenta and Chase and TMDK. But it probably is. Oh,
Jesus. I just want Chase to go away, man, sometimes. And then that entire Soul show, he was like, nah, fuck it. I'll sit here and do commentary. I was like, oh, look, a show with no Chase Owens on it. He's like, commentary, bitch. Anyway.
And he does not watch the product. So, he's like, oh, really?
Like, yeah, dude. These great moments, and he's just like, oh, is that a thing? Like, okay, cool, man.
Cool.
That's the other guy. Like Hanare's big moment, you know, fucking Walker sitting there going like, Hanare, he's worked for so long. He's the first Maori champion. He's been in this company for 15 years or whatever. And then Chase goes, oh, really? It's his first one?
Yeah,
his first belt?
Yeah. It's like, bro, you only just got your fucking first belt a few fucking days ago. Don't be acting.
How about learn to let the moment live?
Yeah. You know,
let the moment go.
Like, yeah.
Fuck off. Anyway.
Anyway, the tag team match was really good, and I'm very excited that Team DK are the new champions.
Hell yes.
They didn't join the belts, though, still. They're still both titles, which is fucked. So, yeah. I don't know what they're going to do.
Because no one's going to challenge for just the strong belts.
That's why it makes no sense. So once you fucking win everything, then you've just got to fucking merge them. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That like they did with the fucking Intercontinental belt and the World belt. Was like, no one's gonna pin the heavyweight champion and challenge for the Intercontinental belt.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen, right? Like, so fucking why are you doing this? But I guess they've got that out in that Strong's kind of a separate show, and so they'll just be like, they're fucking gonna defend that. But it gets messy, I personally think, in these kind of things when it's like face champions, right? Because I always think that like a face champion should just defend all the belts. That's just what they would do because they're the fucking good guys. Yeah. They're like, no, I'm not fucking only giving you half of this.
I'm
like,
a fighting champion.
If you beat me, you fucking get everything kind of thing. And it's up to a heel to be like, oh, well, if we're strong, you can only challenge for the strong belt. Like that's what heels do. So, yeah, it gets a bit messy.
Yeah. And I think we're going to have TMDK as faces for quite a while. That's... Mm-hmm. That's the thing. There's not a lot of people. So I was explaining to my wife how all of the factions are like in a spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got far to the left is Hantai, and they're the good guys. That's the faciest face. Mm-hmm. And then you've got House of Torture far to the right. That's the heeliest heel, and everybody else falls somewhere in that line. Because she was asking me how come sometimes when Zach's wrestling, he's wrestling as a good guy, and sometimes when he's wrestling as a bad guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it just depends on who he's facing. If it's someone who's further right on the spectrum than he is, mm-hmm. This is not a political thing. I'm just using left and right to denote where they're falling on the line.
Sure.
And I'm sure that everyone he faces is farther to the right than he is because he's very left.
Yeah.
So if they're facing someone who is further on the spectrum towards heel than they are, then he'll wrestle face and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't see that shift coming where TMDK is going to be pulling, you know, farther to the face at all. That's kind of confusing when it comes to Robbie, because Robbie is like the heel of PWA now, and you could started to see it pop up a little bit during the Best of Super Junior
stuff. Yeah.
Robbie's not going to switch factions again, is he?
No, I don't think so, because the other guys in Team DK aren't really squeaky clean. You know what I mean? They are that bit more sort of tough boy kind of shit talkers. Like you see TMDK push people around afterwards. They'll fucking, you know, roll a dude up and pull a tights. You know, they're not like hysterical Shane Hayes is talking shit to everybody. Like they're not fucking squeaky clean good guys, you know. And TMDK, like in Perth at the moment, are heels. Like, so they can just jump around. It just depends on what they're doing. So they've got the ability to do whatever it takes, really.
All right. I'll accept that. That's good.
There you go. All right.
Then we had Shingo and Hanare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Double KO.
Yeah.
That was pretty sick.
It was, it was cool. Like the match, this was one where I was like, why not just pull the fucking trigger? You know what I mean? It's Dominion.
Why not do it at Dominion?
He's been in the company for over, you know, he's been I don't know.
12 years or something?
Look, yeah, 10, 12 years, like fucking 16 years a wrestler or whatever. You know what I mean? This guy's like fucking basically broken his neck, cracked open his head for the company and shit, and you couldn't have him fucking pin the dude at Dominion? Like, it had to be at this other bullshit? Like, and I get it, they're selling tickets and put it off or whatever, but even then, draws just annoy me. Like, I'm like, if he can't win it now, then just have him lose. Is how I look at it. You have it like, have the exact same finish, but like Shingo happens to get to his feet 1 second earlier and then he's like, you know what, it's not settled, that's fine. And I know they were kind of like, look, Hanare was the winner, he just wasn't quite there kind of thing and he missed out by a second. Like, I get it, but I just don't think it works as well in pro wrestling. But it did lead to what was a really good match, which we'll talk about when it comes up. I was wondering if it would lead to a stipulation. I was like, is this going to lead to like an Iron Man match or something? Or like a last man standing where it's literally like this exact finish, but that's how you win, you know? Like
that. And I loved that match that they had, but man, would it have been better as an Iron Man match? Would it have been better as a last man standing? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe. The match was really good. Like, they obviously had a few things. Like, they had to keep a few tricks up their sleeve in this match to allow for that match, you know?
I'd still say it was a 4.5-star on my personal scale, like, even with them holding back, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was a 4.25 match according to Cage Match. So, oh, no, what is it? Four and a half.
Four and a half, according to Wrestling Observer Newsletter.
Yeah, exactly. Wherever that comes from. So, but yeah, but it was still good. It was still good.
9.75 stars between the two of them.
Absolutely.
Pretty good.
Either way, I love to see Hanare in these spots. You know what I mean? It's awesome.
Speaking of people I don't love to see in these spots, John Moxley and Evil for the World Heavyweight title. Evil, you have failed me again. You have failed me.
I know you were different. I'm gonna let you get this out of off your chest because you were definitely having a little bit of, I don't want to use the word tizzy, but there was a little bit of some rage typing from you. Yeah, you were really having a sad about Moxley being the champion, like a bit of a tantrum. And then obviously you were calling for Evil to take it. And I'm sitting back and I'm like, it's all fine. It doesn't matter. But I'm also like, I have lived through a time when Evil was champion and I'm not sure that's the answer for what we need right now.
It's just not okay anymore. It's just not,
man. I mean, how long has it been? It's been 2 seconds. It doesn't matter. It's fine.
It matters. And here's the other thing that pissed me off.
See, I'm getting him hot now. Let's have your tirade. Let me
fucking go on this.
Yeah, get off your chest. Fine. Get off your chest.
Moxley's the champ. Yeah. Everyone loves Moxley. We had him lose in America so that we can have the big crowning achievement moment for Naito at a Japanese show where they can, wait a minute, what? It's not happening in Japan? Oh, it's happening for AEW?
Oh, is it happening at Forbidden Door?
It's happening at fucking Forbidden Door, dude.
Well, I mean, Forbidden Door's a co-branded pay-per-view.
It's a co-branded show.
Yeah.
It's a fucking AEW show.
Yeah, but either way, I would say that...
Who owns the copyright on Forbidden Door?
Well, I mean, it should be fucking Tanahashi, really, but he fucking dropped that ball.
Should be Tanahashi.
But I would say, don't you think it's...
Here's the fucking thing. I want to make another point.
Okay. Drunk Uncle Curtis. I want another thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey. If you were a hot dog, would you eat yourself? I would. Anyway. So.
Jesus Christ.
How did Naito earn this title shot that he's having at Forbidden
Door? Okay. So hear me out. That bothers me.
Who the fuck did he beat?
Well, he didn't. He just walked
Callum
out.
Callum Newman?
John Moxley.
He beat Callum Newman?
Well, fuck, exactly. I was like, you're not really booking him to win. So, 2 points about this. The Moxley thing hasn't been going on that long and I don't really care enough. So, I don't have a thing. I think it's fine.
Exactly. You don't care about that.
But you know what? I didn't care about it for a fucking year when Sonata had it. So, it doesn't really matter. It's a fucking secondary title to me at the moment. They don't do anything cool with it. It's like, fucking getting me hot now. Now I'm going to fucking go about them not using this thing. But don't you think it's cool for, I do think it is good if Naito pins John Moxley on an AEW show. Like, I do think that's good. Like, if it, 1, 2, 3, clean as a whistle, Destino forever, fucking and repeat, and Naito beats him on his own show. I do think I like that. There's no guarantee that'll happen. He'll probably just get fucking stonked and fucking absolutely buried. But yeah, I think that. But again, I don't like lazy booking like that, where John's like, I fucking win. I'm the fucking sheriff of this town. Anybody out the back, come out. And me, I'm going, Zach, let's go. Zach out this fucking curtain right now. Zack Sabre Jr., let's do it. And then Naito comes trotting out and I'm like, oh, bruh, like I get it. But I hate it when dude loses title, the title takes a little excursion for a few days, then dude just wins it back again. And I'm like, we can take it on a longer journey than this, guys. Like it doesn't need to. It's the same booking that they did with Finlay and Nemeth, which I didn't mind because I just wanted to get it back on Finlay. I don't think he got a proper run with it, but I'm just like, do we need it?
He didn't get a proper run with it. And I was piss scared they were going to fucking
flip it on
Sonata
him.
Win it.
Yeah.
Flip it to Sonata. And I was like, oh, another V0 fucking reign for Finlay. Yeah. This is the new US title.
I was very worried. That match took 1,000 years off my life. And yeah, I was kind of a bit worried about it too. But yeah, yeah, so no, anyway.
I'm so done with this fucking Moxley Naito fucking dance that they're doing. Mm. I'm tired of this shit, bro. Mm. I'm tired of it.
Was the first one that good that we fucking needed a second? Like, I don't remember if I really enjoyed Moxley and Naito. Was it okay?
No, and it was a match.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, man.
The issue is that like, Naito's the only fucking guy they've got on the marquee right now. And as long as that's the case, they're going to ride it on him.
And I'm not against Naito having the belt. I'm not. But, like, I remember someone telling me specifically that this belt, this world heavyweight belt, is the belt that stays in Japan. And people come to New Japan to challenge for that belt.
Is that what they said?
Okay. That's what they said. And then they said the global heavyweight championship, the GHC, is the belt that travels around. Mm-hmm. That's the belt that goes out and shows people what New Japan is, like in their own home country. And what?
They never keep to these fucking rules. They go, this belt is going to, they never keep to it.
For the youth to challenge for. Yeah. And that's why we're having Tomohiro Ishii challenge for it.
Exactly. And I mean, I love that Jeff Cobb's got it. Not exactly the youth either, though.
I'm so fucking tired of this shit, man.
Are we?
Come on.
Are we ready? I thought this was a positive show, but are we ready to close this podcast? are we done with New Japan as fans? Like, are we?
I'm not. Do you want to start a DDT podcast?
Yes. Like, I'm more into
Mao's so
fucking good. I went to his birthday one time. I went to his 21st.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've got a photo up here.
I'm a Mao guy now.
Mao, Chris Brooks, Dino, fucking Masada. Masada's so fucking good, dude. He's like Chris Brooks' fucking protege in DDT.
Nice.
Yeah. There's
I've been
Shunma.
A Chris Brooks fan
Shunma
for years.
Was just
See,
in
Chris
fucking-
Brooks was all over the fucking European scene while I was when I first came over here, moved over and started. Like I saw his final match in England before he took off for DDT.
Yeah, really. Shunma was just in fucking I forget his last name, I could find it, but was just in Tournament of Survival. Did a DDT death match in the tournament. Against Brandon Kirk.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Exactly. There's so many good dudes. But yeah, that is why we're now Ichiban Sweetcast and not Okada Shorts. So we can move around a bit. We can finesse this.
We can dip.
Let's talk about I think dabble. If anything, we'll finish our final thoughts on this show. Let's let the IWGP world title shit be where it is. You know what? It's just not for us right now, and that's fine. it'll come back around and then it will be. But right now, the players are not who we want to see. So, but when we talk a little bit more about the Despy show, I think you'll see our eyes light up because we had so much fucking fun with it. Because it was,
the Despy show.
It was like a DDT show. It was like a Big Japan show. Like, it was just so fun. I just prefer indie wrestling, I reckon. So Best of the Super Juniors 31 final, El Desperado versus Taiji Ishimori for the Best of the Super Juniors. What do you think of the match?
Did this blow your skirt up? I know you're not a Bone Soldier guy, but I thought this match was really good. He had his working boots on for sure.
He did. Am I like a major Boner fan overnight? Absolutely not. Like, but I do think he worked really hard. And I think they told a really good story and, like, so aggressive. Like, I did really like the match, you know. And I was like, if he was this guy all the time, then maybe I would be a Taiji Ishimori fan.
Hard to be that at 40 years old, being that guy.
Tell me about it.
Shit. I mean, like, I go sit down for lunch during work, and, like, when I get up, I'm, like, walking crooked for the first, you know, 3 or 4 minutes.
I went to the GP yesterday because I thought I had appendicitis. I think I just had, like, indigestion. I'm still trying to figure it out. Yeah, I think, what?
Tummy ache survivor.
Yeah, tummy ache
survivor.
Exactly. Well, it's like when you have a brush with mortality, like I've recently had, I just don't trust my body anymore, I think is what's going on.
Fair.
Yeah.
Absolutely fair. I got to take advantage of some of this English, like, NHS, because I still haven't. Like, I do take advantage of the brain medicine, of course. Mm-hmm, we've talked about that. Mm-hmm. But, like, I've still never seen a GP here. I haven't been to the doctor in 25 years.
Yeah, okay, that's an issue. That was the main reason I went.
I broke my hand in 2003. That was the last time I saw a doctor.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck it out. That's what did you have to, obviously I sent you a picture today of all the various screws that are holding my hand onto my arm now. What did you have to do for a broken hand?
So they splinted it up for a week. Mm-hmm. And then, cause I couldn't get into the doctor to see the doctor to get a cast on it for a week.
Yeah.
And then they set it. So this is great. They set the thing in a cast. Mm-hmm. And I was actually going to audition for a band like fucking 2 weeks later. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. So I had two fingers free. I had my forefinger and my thumb free so I could hold a pick. And I started playing with a pick after that.
Because you're a bass player as well. We've talked about my band on here, but we never really talked about Curtis is a bass player as well.
I am a bass player. Or I was a bass player. I have not played a bass in many, many a moon.
Check this out. Ready for this movement? Oh, shit.
Look at you turning around.
Next week, I need to start getting ready for our show in October.
Are you going to be able to play bass? I mean, that is your fucking fretboard hand.
Yeah, exactly. Look at this.
Got that finger strength. Look at that.
Look at this movement. Fucking. But I couldn't turn this hand. I couldn't. What I'm showing everybody, this is an audio medium, Curtis and I have a camera.
Yeah, medium.
But like if I was holding my hands up, imagine in what's that fucking Talladega Nights when he's like, what do I do with my hands? Oh, yeah. And they come up in front of him. I couldn't make that motion with my left hand. It couldn't turn around and like palm to face kind of thing. So, but I'm there now. I'm at like almost perfect.
70%.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then the fingers were already back. So I just can't like close a fist all the way with the left. It's not my punching hand anyway. So we'll see. But,
beautiful.
But yeah, I enjoyed the match. Once it was announced.
Oh yeah, we were talking about
wrestling. I'm bringing it back. We're fucking getting loose today.
I haven't slept yet. It is fucking 10 a.m.
I know,
and I've just gotten off you work night shift at work.
This was your idea to do Arvo.
Arvo.
This is a rough time for us both to do because we've both just finished work. Like, I fucking clocked off my job and you just clocked off night shift and we're speaking at the same time. So.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I wanted to talk about Despy.
Yeah. And so did you think when it was announced that the Best of the Super Juniors was going to headline Dominion and you knew it was Desperado and Boner, did you think that that's buried the lead? We know Desperado's winning this.
No. No? Absolutely not.
I felt like I did. I felt like it's got to be his coronation. Like,
I thought for sure that they were going to be like, And the story is that he lost again.
Yeah. That's a hell New Japan thing to do. Even though we're not really pushing Taiji and he's like 40, we're just going to waste this Dominion main event on making you all feel bad.
Yep. I thought if any time at all, like, because I was like, it's not, if it was Hiromu, I would have known for sure Despy was losing.
Yeah.
I would have just been like, nope. If I put money on fucking wrestling, it would have been all in on Hiromu.
I would have been scared if TJP was his opponent. I would have actually been terrified. I would have also been
scared of TJP too, yeah. Because I would have been like, oh, they're making him the new captain of the United Empire now. Like this is a thing going forward.
If it was Robbie, so. I would have been on my seat, like Okada, Omega, Dominion, draw level, fucking so invested. I can't even tell you.
Yeah, there's not a lot of people that it could have been that I wouldn't have been hyped for.
Yeah.
You know, like the field was so good this year. Mm-hmm. So good.
Yeah.
And I think if they had really anybody up against Despy, like he's able to bring something amazing out of people. Mm. You know? Like Okada was able to bring something amazing out of people.
Yeah.
Like Despy's at that level.
He really is, actually. That's a fucking great point, because not everybody in New Japan at the moment is that, right? They've definitely had guys like that before. Osprey was that kind of wrestler. Okada was that mm-hmm. kind of wrestler. Omega was that kind of wrestler. Despy is definitely that kind of wrestler. Robbie Eagles is that kind of wrestler, right? But then there are other guys like Naito definitely can, but he doesn't always, you know, like he can definitely get dragged down by his opponent. Sonata, I think, proved that he definitely can't. Zach definitely can. But
Zach can get the best out of people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but that's the thing, right? Like those kind of wrestlers don't come around every day. And I think they've seen that. Like Hiromu, I don't think Hiromu can do that. Like always, I think he's definitely had matches where I'm like, this is lagging. And I mean, say what it is about his injuries and things. He's not really the same guy anymore. That said, I've never loved him more than on Despy Invitational.
So much fun. Match of the fucking century. Like,
let's just fucking jump to that. Let's just be done with this. I think it's worth saying that we're very happy that he finally got it.
The entire field was great. All of the shows were great. The matches were fantastic. Everybody looked great. Robbie Eagles, MVP. Desperado wins. Feel good story.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Absolutely.
The Despy Envy.
Yeah, which really is the next day. And when you think about that, it's fucking crazy that he goes, wins Best of the Super Juniors, headlines their second biggest show of the year, and then he goes and pulls this shit. And I'm pretty sure he even said, like, on the mic afterwards, that I'll probably be in trouble for this because it was fucking out of control. Like some of the shit that happened, but also some of the shit that he did. And obviously Gato did and fucking TikToko. So I guess it's all fine because they fucking signed off on it. But man, I mean, you touched it. Let's run through the matches here because there was so much fucking good shit. Dragon Kid and Starlight Kid. Starlight Kid coming out at fucking in Despy cosplay was so fucking cool.
Dude, Starlight Kid is just the fucking coolest.
Yeah, she's so cool.
I love her so much.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There's something about her that just makes me go like, this chick's got it, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I just love it.
Yeah, she's so dope. And then Despy and Mimo Shimoda, who I wasn't familiar with, but from just reading up on her a little bit, she's obviously a very well-respected veteran wrestler. She's been wrestling for like over 35 years or something like that. You know what I mean? She's like the one in female wrestling from what I understand, or one of the ones, like OGs. So, yeah, pretty cool. And then Despy opens his own show and loses. That was great. And then I was like, oh, that's super interesting that he's not in the main event, because I thought obviously it's a Mystery Vortex type show. You don't know what's going to happen, but I really thought the whole thing was going to lead up to like him having a big singles match or something to close it, like he has done before with like Jun Kasai and stuff. So I was like, I wonder what his main event will be. And then when it wasn't that, I was like, oh, I wonder what that'll be.
So once he got up his sleeve.
Absolutely. Then after that, we had a four-way match. It was Daisuke Sasaki versus Doki versus Ita versus Violento Jack. Now, I got to say, I fucking love Violento Jack. I've got a Violento Jack coin purse up here that I bought off him when I have seen him at Freedoms and stuff at Shikima First Ring. He's one of my favorite deathmatch wrestlers. So when he came out last, I was like, this is fucking it. And he's like, Rita going fucking sick was so funny.
Rita Yamashita, drunk as fuck, just losing her goddamn mind. I was having so much fun just listening to her just like flip absolute
Despy's
shit.
Despy's like, want to just come do commentary? She's like, yeah, right.
Sure, bro.
Yeah.
No problem.
And so anybody that doesn't know who Rita is, she is like a deathmatch wrestler trained by Jun Kasai. Is from Freedoms 2, so like her supporting Jack makes sense of the same team. She's also like been GCW Ultra Violent Champion.
She is currently GCW Ultra Violent Champion.
Oh, she's still got that belt? Yeah, cool. I can't remember. Did she win Tournament of Survival last year? I feel like she did. But
You and I talked about it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So she wasn't in the matches, but she was on commentary. She was sitting over there to the side with the band Sim. You haven't seen them before. They did a Wrestle Kingdom theme called Lion's Den. They do the Attack on Titan theme, the Rumbling. They're a really big band, like kind of like ska punk type fucking hardcore nu metal type band. In Japan, genres don't matter. They just do whatever the fuck they want. And that was a sick match. I really like Sasaki. He's like the goth-looking boy from DDT. Doki's obviously from New Japan. Ita's from, where was he, Noah? I think. I'm not really familiar with him. I don't really watch much Noah stuff. And then Violento Jack. He is Noah.
He's got a Cactus Jack thing going, right? It's like, that was really fun to see like his like half Cactus Jack, half Lucha Libre mask.
Yeah,
was,
yeah.
Like, it's really sick. Fucking cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like, yeah, half sort of Mankind, kind of half Lucha Libre type thing. He's a bad motherfucker, man. He's awesome. He lives in Japan. Like, he's obviously a Mexican gentleman, but he's been there forever. Like, he's fluent and stuff. I met him for the first time, actually. Was it last trip? Trip before, briefly. We're all at a bar and I met him. And I saw him without his mask. Handsome man. Next up was Hardcore Tag
Team. Imagine the fucking decade, dude.
Yeah, dude. Hiromu Takahashi and Jun Kasai versus Minoru Suzuki and Takayuki Ueki. This fucking popped me huge. So first of all, I don't know how long Ueki's been a hot cop, but that's not normally in my – now, you need to know that Ueki's one of the most fucking brutal deathmatch wrestlers there is. I've seen him do some crazy shit with cinder blocks and things like that. So having him come out in this hot cop uniform, if that's just what he wrestles in all the time, more power to him because it was fucking awesome.
I loved his cardboard belt that he had.
Yeah, so funny. That was great. And then his partner comes out and it's fucking Suzuki. So already I'm losing it. I don't know if they're partners or enemies, but I'm like, either way, this is fucking killer. I'm like, are these two about to fuck each other up? Then I'm like, they're partners. Then Hiromu's music hits and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Hiromu's here. And then Jun Kasai's music hits and nobody loses their shit more than Hiromu. Like, he fucking goes mental. I bought some New Japan merch from Rolling Cradle last trip, Jun Kasai, 25 years wrestling merch. I got this sick shirt and hat. And that's like Hiromu's store. You know what I mean? Like, that's his brand. And he put out all this stuff of that. And he was like a fucking kid meeting his hero. You know what I mean? Obviously, they know each other, but he was so excited to be in a match with him. It was an absolute shit show. And I fucking loved fucking every single second.
No shoe Lego death match.
Hiromu hopping through the Legos like on his tippy toes. So funny.
Like a fucking bird.
Yeah. So funny. And then like everybody chanting for Suzuki doing it. He's like, fuck it. And he does it too. Like, fucking. Hiromu doing Kasai's finisher and stuff. Like, Hiromu busted open his own head on the railing before the match even started, dude, just headbanging to Kasai's thing.
Hiromu's in a match with Ueki, Suzuki, and fucking Jun Kasai and ends up hurting himself.
I know. It was fucking so good. So much bullshit. And then fucking, of course, Suzuki and Ueki fall out and he fucking turns on him and shit and everyone's bashing him. It was fucking so fun. Like, I really had a great time. Like, I was having so much fun.
Fucking grin on my face a mile wide.
And like those first matches were good, you know. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And then Violento Jack and that happened. I'm like, oh, that was pretty cool. And then this happens and I lost my shit. I was like, this is unbelievable. I mean, I were losing it. And then when the next match happened, I like couldn't even fucking believe it. Like when they start coming out, it's like Chris Brooks. And then it's Mao. And I'm like, okay, couple of tickets. Then it's fucking ELP. And I'm like, oh, sick. Is this like a three-way? Are they a team? I love these guys together. And then fucking Takeda comes out, dude. Fucking Takeda comes out. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? And he walks out with a fucking board with like black forks on it. Like, it was intense as fuck. Like, I loved it. Like, it was absolutely
when he pulled
crazy
out those fucking shears.
Oh, yeah, he always like, just has those.
they looked like they had seen a ghost. They were just like, whoa.
They're like, we've walked into some shit we didn't fucking mean to walk into. And then I love that they were all like, we're going to team up kind of thing. And I was like, let's get ELP into Schadenfreude fucking quick smart. Let's do this.
Hell yeah, dude.
Hell yeah.
Let's do the thing like they did with TMDK and just borrow a faction.
Yeah.
And we'll borrow Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
And we'll have like ELP and fucking Chris Brooks and Desperado, you know, and sometimes Jun Kasai can come over too.
Yeah.
And like,
absolutely.
Borrow that.
Get it just going. I mean, like Zach keeps doing all this stuff with DDT. And I know he was saying that like Chris Brooks has challenged, who's he fighting? Is it – he's fighting Despy. Yeah, yeah, it is. So this match ends in a draw, really good. And then at the end, Chris Brooks kind of thanks everybody and calls out, you know, Despy in and says, look, I want to fight you or whatever at their big event they've got coming up. And then Despy tries to roll him up because it's the Iron Man title. It's like a 24/7
title. It's
the
Iron Man title.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I just watched the lead up to Chris Brooks getting that fucking title is insane. Because do you know who – what's that fucking, it's like a mascot that gets around Instagram. It's like called Chiba or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that
like
big head fucking
yeah, big head thing.
Thing.
It was the champion just the other day. And then it got rolled up by some other dude. And then his mate fucking pushed him off and rolled it up. And then he got fucking taken out. And then Chris Brooks takes out him. It just goes on like all the time. So,
dude,
yeah.
I was looking at this thing the other day. It was every belt that has been won by Kana Asuka. From WWE.
Yeah, sure.
And it was just like, oh, she was such and such tag team champion. And she was like wave, like world champion for such. And it had the dates on it and stuff. And it was like DDT Iron Man champion. And it had the date. And then it was like DDT Iron Man champion times two, same date. DDT Iron Man champion times three, same date.
She was just there that day and they fucking did a heap of title changes with it.
Yep.
That's so funny. Great. That's so funny. But, yeah, and then it's Zack Sabre Jr. Versus Hikaru Sato. Yeah.
This guy, he's Minoru Suzuki's boy, yeah? He's training Pancrase with Minoru Suzuki.
He sold me a shirt at fucking Piledriver, fucking Suzuki's store. Yeah, he was there. Took a photo of us with Suzuki. he's a fucking real deal. He's like, I was looking at his stats here on Cage Match. He's actually done a lot. Like, he doesn't really look super old, but he's like 43. And he has, like, fucking, what's he, fucking, when did he debut? 2009. This guy's been like All Japan junior heavyweight champion three times, All Asia tag champion five times, DDT Iron Man champion two times. Everybody has been independent junior champion, KO'd open weight champion, KO tag team, on and on it goes. But yeah, he's done lots of stuff. And I understand he has a bit of a shoot background as well. Like, so yeah, like in actual martial arts. So
yeah, mixed martial arts. Yeah. And this match that he had with Zack Sabre Jr. was shit hot.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was so good, dude. Yeah. Like that sort of catch as catch can that they were going through. And this guy like came out repping Pancrase. It said Pancrase on his little fucking Chiron there.
And it said that, like, on fucking Suzuki, right? Suzuki came out repping Pancrase as well.
Yeah, that fucking, I've got a Minoru Suzuki Pancrase shirt upstairs. It's one of my favorite shirts that I have.
Yeah.
And like Pancrase was my fucking shit back in the day. In like 98, 99, 2000, like before Ring of Honor, like that was my fucking, like when people were like, oh, do you watch independent wrestling? I'm like, nah, bro, I watch Pancrase. It's like hybrid wrestling. You've heard of the UFC, but it's realer than that. Yeah. Like it's more like way down. Like, dude, I was so about Pancrase. I love that shit, dude. King of Pancrase title is one of, I'd say, my top three favorite like belts of all time.
Yeah,
like,
it looks sick. It looks badass.
And like, you know, that's where I first heard of fucking Boss Rutten, who I fucking love and adore. Boss Rutten and fucking like Minoru Suzuki and Ken Shamrock and like all of these great, like, you know, shoot fighters from like all over the world, Japan, you know, fucking Dutch dudes pulling up, fucking American dudes pulling up, like fucking Pancrase was the shit, man.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
It's badass. You know what's so cool? I'm just like reading through the ratings on Cage Match for this show, and I've never seen so many tens. Like on here, like people like 10.
Tens across the board.
It's tens across the board, eh? It's really impressive. It's rated at 9.21. The lowest rating was 6. That wasn't even like a bad one. It was pretty fun.
I think the 6 was, or the lowest rated one was the main event that we can get to right now. Dick Togo and Ghetto, representing both halves of Bullet Club, defeating Dino and El Desperado.
Now, that's what I'm saying. Before Dino fucking makes El Desperado be his partner and they leave, and then Desperado comes back in the same.
Let me set the scene.
Yeah, do it.
I've never seen a Dino match before. I've seen GIFs and things.
Yeah.
You know? And Dino's music starts playing. They're waiting for him to come out, and he doesn't come out through the curtain.
No.
He, like, you see his little head pop over like the western bank of seats, and he's like wearing a tasteful salmon polo shirt or something like that, and then his fringy like G-string stripper pants that he's got on, and like socks.
Yeah. Like, well, he wears those kind of like boots, right? Like that's fucking.
Oh my god! I was.
There's a lot of look.
I was like, oh, he's climbing over the thing. What's he fucking wearing? And then he comes out. He kisses 90 people.
He got them lining up at one point on that middle bit in the car front there. He's just like he pointed, and just a row of dudes appears, and these are fans, and then he just kisses them one by one because he comes to the crowd. He just kisses men. That's what he does. Aggressively gay wrestler.
Aggressively gay. Let's go.
And every time I go see him, people love it. Like they're obsessed with him and how funny he is. And to me, I'm not sure there's a bigger star in wrestling right now.
He's too fucking funny.
You got to see, I don't know if I got to put it on the wheel or I got to do thing, but I watched him in the DDT had their like Prince of DDT tournament or King of DDT tournament. And it was Dino versus Endo. I don't know the full guy's name. Dino versus Endo. And dude, if you thought this match had like gay overtones, like, it was ridiculous. Like fucking, like Endo was just essentially naked, but a G-string with like Dino just hammering him like from behind. Like it's so ridiculous. Like Dino's doing like moonsaults to the outside wearing basically no clothes. Like it's fucking so intense. We were like, what is happening here? This is so fucking crazy.
I love that shit, dude. Dino is so funny.
He's so funny. Yeah,
embarrasses the fuck out of El Desperado, makes him go back and get, he's got his own like handmade gear for
in Desperado colors. He's gonna wear the same pants.
Oh, great stuff. And then of course they're facing Ghetto and Dick Togo, so
yeah,
not only does everybody love Desperado, not only does everybody love Dino, everybody fucking hates these two.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones who fucking shit all over like the cool Bullet Club and turn Bullet Club super heels and not these fucking, you know.
Yeah, they're the ultimate cool heels. They don't have like if you bring in, like in this match, if you do War Dogs or whatever versus these guys, it's that would be a cool match, but it's not the same as like these two. Because everybody fucking hates these two. It's not a cool match. It's like we really want to see Dino and Despy beat them, you know, and we want to see them.
I was kind of hoping it was going to be like a reunion of Giotto and Ghetto, but like, I mean, Giotto fucking super hates Ghetto right now, so it's fine.
I thought it was, from the original promo and stuff we spoke to Dino, I thought it was going to be like House of Torture. I thought it was going to be like Show and Evil or something like that, you know. I didn't think it was going to be those two, but either way, it kind of makes sense that they would maybe agree to do it. So, super, super funny. All the big spots. For those who haven't seen it, Dino's finisher, he essentially, once he gets rid of his outer fringy pants, he then is just in like underwear. And he has sort of two layers of underwear, both are G-strings, and he has one
G-string and then a very much a stretchier G-string.
Yeah, the stretchier, bigger outer one. He'll like knock them out and they'll be staggering about, and then he'll open the front of his G-string and then the person will pass out into the G-string and then he'll pick them up and pile drive them in his G-string. That's his finisher. I saw that live for the first time and I was like, this is the most insane shit. I posted it to Instagram like, if wrestling's fake, then explain this, because it is the best finisher I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's the only thing I had ever seen of Dino before was like that move.
Yeah, which is
I think there was a gif going around of him and former redacted wrestler who shall not be named and was canceled. The porn star guy.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, that's all I'd ever seen of Dino. I didn't know that he was like, I thought like, oh, he's like a goofball. No, he's fucking hilarious.
He's so funny, dude. He's so funny. It's one of those wrestlers where like, if you wrestle him, you're wrestling his match. You know what I mean? Like he just takes over the entire fucking show. Like
he doesn't bring out the best out of people. He's not an Okada.
No, he's not an Okada. He kind of does bring the best out of them in a way. You know, he'll bring out the most entertaining shit, but. But yeah, there was this fun part because he's always kissing dudes and shit as well. There was this one part where he kissed the DDT referee, and the DDT referee sold it like he was stunned, and he was like in a video game, you know, when you're doing this, like swinging around.
Yeah.
And for like half the match, the ref is just in the corner stunned like that, like he's in a video game. Like he just sold it for so long. Like it was so funny. And this, when like Desperado doesn't want to do it, and then he slaps the fuck out of him and makes him get up, take off his pants and get up on the thing, and then he's gonna hit the guys like into Despy's ass, and then Despy gets down and Dino just walks up so close to him and then just kisses him on the lips for like a really long period of time. Like it's so fucking random. And Despy's just standing there like at attention, like he's in trouble kind of thing. It's so fucking crazy, man.
I thought it was so funny that Dino got to have two layers of G-strings, but Despy did not.
Yeah, no, he just had a jock strap, so he was whole out with Despy.
He was whole out is the best way to. Did you see the way he got out of the ring? Like he had to like kind of like lay down and roll.
So yeah, you got to be careful
so that he wasn't.
Did you see that when Dino was leaving? He left with his pants off essentially, and then he would like kind of he was walking backwards away from the ring, and then he would like bow, but like directly in front of the crowd, just like full hole. People were like taking photos. I was like, what are you doing? It's so fucked. I was like, this gimmick could not work in any country but Japan. Like, it just can't. Like, you can't bring Dino to America and have him fucking pulling these antics. Dudes would lose it.
Oh, no.
Too many homophobes. Like, it can never happen.
35 of the 50 states.
Yeah, people would be pulling guns and shit. Like, it'd just be fucked. But, like, in Japan, he just fucking rules the place, man. And they all absolutely love it. Like, it's so funny. And just everybody loses it. Like, I've seen so many of his matches there, and I'm never not entertained by it. Like, it's so funny.
I think I do love the fact that, like, he comes out and he's kissing everybody, but, like you said, not everybody. Like, there were
some
so
guys
many
he's not interested. He's not attracted to that guy. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
not going to kiss you.
He gives him like a look up and down and just walks past him. Like, it's like, you don't make the cut.
Oh, man.
Reading him to filth, eh?
Oh, my God.
The library is open.
Okay. So, yeah, the library. Oh, no.
If you're wondering how many times Dino has been the DDT Iron Man Heavy Metal Champion, 37 times.
Oh, my God.
So many times. Like, his career is just like, oh, wait, no. Oh, I'm sorry. My mistake. That is... is a total of 485 days plus, but it's like...
Oh, God, I thought you were going to say 485 times.
No, well, it's probably more because it's like the 23rd of the 11th. He won it three times that day. Then... or was that... He was a three-time champion that day. Fuck, it's so confusing. What? I don't understand. I don't understand how it works. It must be 37 times plus because...
Well, as long as
No, it adds them up. It adds them up. Yeah, okay, cool.
As long as the belt doesn't get in the way of him bowing and showing his spread open asshole to the entire crowd, then
yeah,
you know, everything's fine.
Absolutely. But yeah, anyway, guess we got to get on to the next match. We can't talk about this forever. And here at the fucking Dino cast, like...
Ichiban Dino cast.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely loved it. But either way... One night, you've got him standing tall
on the goings on. We said we wanted to vibe on the goings on.
Yeah.
And that's what we're
doing. That is the goings on.
We had fun.
That is the goings on. And it's worth noting that, like, the two back to back pictures that came out of one of him holding the Best of the Super Juniors trophy at Dominion, and then you would swipe right on Instagram, and then it's him in a fucking jock strap just holding his own underwear. It's just, like, so priceless. Like, nobody has fucking rolled harder than him. Like, that's just so fucking...
And that's good. That's not even it. Like, the what was it, 4 days later, after that, he has a fucking steel cage match with Sho...
And for, like, the title, for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. Absolutely
fucked. Did you see some of the badass pictures that were coming out of that?
Yeah, that was sick. Absolutely. Oh, like, him looking through the cage, his red eye contact, like,
yeah,
looking
out. Like, I'll just send that through just so, like, right now. Like, that was the coolest fucking picture I've ever seen. He looks like an absolute fucking madman.
Yeah.
He's a madman, you know. Mm-hmm. He looks deranged. Deranged.
Absolutely.
Crazy. Deranged. Like, he is a fucking nut job. I was scared of him. I love him.
Yeah, I love him, and I'm scared of him all at once. Okay, so let's just jump into this real quick. Do you want to
most of the matches?
Yeah, let's just jump straight. I didn't watch them all. Like, I was hanging out with Amy, so I just jumped in at the title matches. So, sure, good work was done. But let's jump into the Never Open Weight 6-man tag team title match. I mean, we covered this. They win it back again.
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
Let's talk about TMDK versus the War Dogs for the junior title.
Love this match.
That was the shit. Yeah, what a fucking match.
It's really good.
Yeah. I love,
and I was torn.
These teams.
Like, were you like,
all four
I
of
fucking
these guys, I love it.
You're like, I want TMDK to win it, but I also don't want the War Dogs to lose it yet, was how I was looking at it. Like, they carry it so well, and I'm like, oh, fuck. I don't know what I want. So it's just one of those ones where you just got to let it play out, you know?
And then at the end of the match, you got the War Dogs in the fucking ring, and they just look, they're both juniors, and they both look absolutely fucking yoked.
Yeah.
I was just like, these guys are monsters.
Yeah. I really want to see
monsters. Who's going to take them?
I want to see both dudes challenge Despy, but Clark especially. After the match they had, Clark tearing off Despy's mask and shit like that, I'd love to see a title defense against Connors. That would be sick. Fucking death match in New Japan.
Oh, that'd be fun. That'd be fun. Let's whip that fucking cage out again. Let's go. Keep it going.
Yeah, that could be his thing. Love it.
Yeah, I wonder if this is going to play all the way to Wrestle Kingdom, when maybe we get back Master Watto and have the Master Watto and Despy
Despawato explodes.
Yeah.
But how wild that he, like,
Wado's going to be.
He headlined three pay-per-views, one Matt Classic, one Gay Extravaganza, and one fucking essentially bloody cage match. Like, three headlining matches in 1 week, essentially.
In Sunday one to fucking Sunday. Week.
Yeah.
He can do it all.
Yeah. Absolutely. And made everybody look great. Best show match I've seen in fucking ages. Best boner match I've seen in ages. Like, fucking best Gato and Dick Togo match I've probably ever seen. Like, you know.
When you started saying best gay, I was like, oh, he's going for it.
I wouldn't say the best gay match I've ever seen, because that Endo fucking Dino one I told you about was really good.
Yeah, that was. So, yeah, let's get the War Dogs challenging for the title, for the junior title. Man, the junior title is the world title right now.
Yeah. That's where I'm at with it. It's feeling good. After this Best of the Super Juniors and leading up to this, it feels like Despy's the fucking main guy. It's the original belt shape I like. It's just like fucking, it's it.
Do you think they're going to change the belt soon?
Oh, fuck it, I hope not. But I do think that.
The Never's seen better days too.
Yeah, I do think, I like it when they're beat up. I do think that fucking with Despy holding it, there's a very real chance they'll focus on it, which is good. Like, so they'll do stuff with it. It's not going to go in a cupboard until they can think of what they're going to do with the champion, you know? He's obviously, like, one of the hottest wrestlers in the world.
He
won right
starting next month.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's going to go in a fucking cupboard for a while, at least. Yeah, yeah. Like,
well,
6 weeks.
Well, that's true. He deserves a break after all this shit.
Yeah, he does.
Let's jump on to fucking Hanare defeating Shingo. Never open weight title match. Hanare's big fucking day. They were all tied up. Shingo had managed to, you know what? Part of why he didn't win it Dominion was probably due to, it was like, wanted to give Shingo that 8 defenses. Like, he holds the record now for holding the never the longest. So they had to get one more in. Might have had something to do with it. But so Shingo longest reigning, but Hanare has taken it from him and also holds the win over their rivalry as well. Because there's 5 matches total and Hanare's won the most of them now. And it kind of felt like when you saw Shingo's after match comments, he felt very like he's done with it. Like, he's going on to G1, he's focusing on the world title, he's moving past it and wishes Hanare the best kind of thing. So Hanare now the standard bearer of never. Yeah.
I wonder, oh man. And we've said many times, like, that's where he needs to be. Like,
he said it himself
on the show, like, it's the bad motherfucker belt.
Yeah.
And he's a bad motherfucker.
Absolutely.
And I'm fucking apt to see what he can do with it. If he brings this back to that, when that was the Shibata belt, you know?
Yeah.
And he was fighting like Kyle O'Reilly and, you know, people like that and just fucking kicking 10 shades of shit out of people. Mm-hmm. Like, that was when the never was the fucking belt.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And let's get that back.
Yeah.
Let's get that back. Let's get that fucking shoot fight like atmosphere back.
Yeah. I remember a young Hanare interview, like with like Kevin Kelly outside of Wrestle Kingdom. You can probably find it on YouTube somewhere, full head of hair, the whole deal, no face done, anything like that. And them asking him what his goals were in New Japan. And he said the never, you know, and in his post-match stuff, he said, you know, the first match he ever saw from New Japan was like Makabe versus Ishii for the never kind of thing. It's like always been the belt he's wanted. So like for him to come all this way and to finally get it now, it means a lot to him. Like, yeah.
I think it means a lot to everybody. It probably means a lot to the entire island of New Zealand.
Well, absolutely. First Maori champion. It's huge. It's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and the fact that he didn't get it until he fully embraced like his heritage.
Yeah.
And you know, he became this ultimate version of himself. We were saying it like he started out as one thing and he has slowly evolved. Like, he evolved when he joined the United Empire and he evolved even further. And like we were saying, like when he first debuted this look, we were like, this is the ultimate form of Hanare.
Yeah.
You know, this is where he's going to be at, that he can finally fucking break through that glass ceiling.
Yeah. And he's done it. He's done it.
God fucking bless him for it.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's so cool. And like the music and stuff, like even speaking to him, you know, interviews and stuff, and we're obviously, Bud's like, that music was really important to him. Getting Alien Weaponry, who are a New Zealand metal band, like, he wanted to make sure he had them as his music, and, you know, the graphics, and, you know, getting his ink done, and like all these things are all things he's wanted to do for a long time. And he's just kept going and pushed away for it and pushed through injury and fucking all this shit. You know what I mean? And made it here to his personal, you know, mountaintop, first milestone, I would say, because I'm sure he's got a lot more in the tank. But yeah, it's just so cool to see. I'm so happy for him.
Really is so fucking cool to see. And now we can get Shingo moving on. I think Shingo versus maybe Finley, because we've been talking about, like, you know, LIJ versus Bullet Club in some sort of way is probably going to be the story through the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Let's go Shingo versus Finley for the fucking GHC.
Yeah.
I bet that'd be a lot of fun. And I think that belt would look really good on Shingo.
It would be cool. I would have no problem with that. Shingo is, as I was watching this, I mean, it's like, Shingo really is so fucking good. And I'm like, dude, he's like, speaking of people that can fucking raise people, you know, and give people good matches and stuff. Oh, like
absolutely.
That, he's easily one of the top three wrestlers in that company. Like, easily.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
There's three people in the company right now that they could throw out in that best wrestler in the world conversation. Mm-hmm. Zach, Shingo, and El Desperado.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's other ones that are like biting at their heels. Like, there's some other really good wrestlers, but those three, to me, for my personal taste, are right up there at the top. After that was David Finlay and Sonata. We kind of covered that briefly earlier in that I don't fucking – how long did it go for? 25 minutes. See, this is the thing, right? You don't fucking – they should know better. Don't put Sonata out there for 25 minutes, man. Just don't.
I don't know, man. I thought it was – you have a hard-on for Sonata.
Well, no, I have the opposite. I'm fucking
– Yeah, your pants up for Sonata, and yeah. I get that. But, like, this match was good. Sonata showed a lot of, like, Sonata, like, fucking chucked the referee out of the ring and shit like that.
He,
like,
was showing a bunch of, and maybe, I mean, I was pretty disengaged from it. So, to be fair, it's not like I was watching it critically, fucking hardly trying to enjoy it. You know what I mean? I was pretty engaged because I'm just like, how could this be good? You know what I mean? Like, I like what Finley's doing. I'm yet to think he's really proved that he's one of those wrestlers that could elevate people. And I was like, I just can't imagine this being good, you know? And so I was there watching it, but I was not watching it to potentially enjoy
Sonata's
it. Maybe I was hate watching, like, it. Ultimate, I don't know.
He's like the ultimate test for, like, can you elevate someone?
Yeah.
Like, can you elevate Sonata?
Yeah. Like, so did you feel Sonata like he did? I mean, we are getting more and more emotion out of him. I see a fucking skull end get locked in, bro, and I'm fucking done. Like, I just don't care. Like, at all.
At first it was locked in really good. Like, he had his arm up under his chin and everything like that. And he locked in, and then all of a sudden it just starts slipping and slipping and slipping and slipping. And it just looked like shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
exactly.
Oh, well, no, like, I thought it was a good match. I definitely did not think it was anywhere near match of the night.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was. What did I say that? Oh, I said something that was fucking shitting on Sonata in our group chat with the stiffies. It's just like, wrong crowd.
They don't even reply to my Sonata slander anymore. They don't even fucking say shit. Like, they know where they stand and I stand. I'm like, I probably don't need to throw this fucking hate in here because they're not going to. They love him, and that's fair enough. You know, Josh was really invested in him as a character and wanted to see growth and wanted to see where he got to. And he did that for him, you know what I mean? And so that's really great. You know, it just
did. And I mean, like, if you watch, it is ridiculously subtle, but if you watch it, the growth and the storytelling is there.
Yeah, it is there. But you know what? And they have done that. It's just the previous 7 years I had to sit through before they even started that story. That's fucking got me a little bit bored of it. You know what I mean? Because there was 7 years of no character movement. You know what I mean? With Sonata. He had long since bored me for a very long time before he started this. And so that.
Well, yeah. I mean, at one point he shaved his beard.
That's true. At one point he looked like a whale fisherman.
Yeah.
You know,
he looked like his hair on his head and his beard were the same. The exact same, and you could like switch them. And
well, he was playing the long game. He was like, I'm going to continue to ugly myself up until they actually push me, and then it's fucking, it's go time on the jawline.
Handsome Man City.
Yeah, exactly. Handsome Man City.
Yeah.
That is what it is. All right.
And then, of course, the last match of the night, El Desperado.
What else can we say about Despy?
Beating Show in a fucking wild cage match that saw the Hantai. Like, it was so funny when Hantai came out to rescue him and the House of Torture just mooked him. I was like, fucking Hantai dorks.
I'm like, Despy needs to get some real mates. Like, this is concerning.
It's a bunch of dorks and Oleg Bolton.
Yeah. I did love that, like, Despy's in the center of the ring just, like, fucking tossing chairs at the cage. Like, any fucking House of Torture boy that tries to get in through the cage or climb it, he's just like, yo! Like, fucking had the high ground.
Smack him in the fingers with the chair.
Yeah, absolutely. He was getting it. That was great. But it was good. Hantai got him out of there. Get him out of here. So that was good.
There's like,
did you like show being essentially strip
two dudes?
Oh yeah, yeah. He's just carrying him out by himself. But like show getting essentially strip searched going into the cage, and like all the weapons they fucking found on his person was so funny.
They took his weapon, his backup weapon, his emotional support weapon, like everything. I was laughing so hard because I was like, I don't know, man. That cage, it's not like you could pass an entire fucking like VW bug through that fucking cage.
Yeah. I was like, Evil's right there. Surely he's got something in his pocket. But I do like that they like pulled the ring apron away. So the idea is there is no weapons or anything. It's like, it's clean. It's just the cage. Like there's no bullshit. I did, like, obviously it ends up full of all those things, but I like that it starts with it not there, you know?
Yeah, and I think Despy knows how to build a hardcore or deathmatch. Like, he knows how to use those weapons matches to the fullest extent. Mm-hmm. So,
absolutely,
that was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. You just fucking nailed it. Like, he headlined three pay per views in a row, or three premium live events in a row, or three whatever you want to fucking call them in a row. The first one was like a technical BOSJ. Masterpiece. You had a fucking wild like comedy match, and then you had a fucking bloody brawl weapons match cage match that was just fucking so cathartic.
Yeah,
like it was like, he's done it.
Yeah, everybody wanted to see him get the best of Show, you know, there's so much bullshit, they always get away with it kind of thing, and you got to see it play out. You got to see him get the win. And finally, after everything he's been through, and I mean, the title was stolen off him in the first place, right? If I remember correctly, wasn't he fucking fucked over? He was the champion coming out of Wrestle Kingdom and kind of got fucked over to even lose it in the first place. So it all came full circle.
Lost it on a countout, I think.
Yeah, some bullshit. And so, you know, he finally wins the tournament that he had never been able to win, fucking headlines Dominion, then headlines the next show and fucking, and does it all. And it's this huge crowning moment, and you love to see it. It was awesome.
So basically, El Desperado.
Number sweet. One. Yeah, absolutely.
We support you.
Sweet. It's not shorts and pants anymore. It's just sweet or not sweet.
Sweet and sour.
Sweet and sour. Yeah. But yeah, very, very sweet weekend for Desperado. So we had so much fun. Hope everybody else did too. We'll do some. With all the Dino and DDT stuff and that, we're going to definitely have to make sure we put more of that stuff in the wheel. We're going to have wheel episodes coming up after this, which are going to be fun. Tell everybody where to find us, Curtis. We've done the damn thing.
Well, we have done the damn thing. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at IchibanSweet, and you can find Rafe on Instagram and Twitter at FacesFeelsCast. You can find me on Instagram at eldestructo83. You can talk to us really on any of those, and we'll get right back to you because we love you. We want to be your friend, and we like to hear from you. We like to hear your opinions. Send us a DM. Send us a tweet. Send us a fucking Instagram message. Comment on anything. You know what? The best thing you can do is help us out by going to patreon.com/countoutpod. Mm-hmm. Countout will. The Countout Podcasting Network is a loose conglomeration of a bunch of cool podcasters doing a bunch of cool wrestling podcast things, and you can help us all out by helping one of us out. So if you go to Countout Pod, you can, for a small donation of every month, you can help all of us at once. You'll get access to all of our secret shows, including ours, which is The Sweet Spot, which we still need to record. You know, we need to do that, but we're hoping to get together a little bit later on this week and get a couple more episodes out for you guys. Mm-hmm. And you can hear extra shows from Ring Post Radio. You can hear extra shows from all the shows on the Countout Broadcasting Network. And I need to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody wets their beak on that deal. That's how it kind of works. Like it's a share pool thing. You know, there's extra, if you haven't had enough from us, there's extra shows from us, but there's also extra shows from Ryan, extra shows from the other creators. If you like New Japan content, Ryan, the main man at Countout, is doing a series called Best of the Bosch, as he calls it, which is, you know, his favorite Best of the Super Junior Finals, which are really great little half-hour episodes to jump in and learn a bit about it, which is really enjoyable. I've listened to all those now and I really enjoy them. So you can check all that out. But yeah, that's all from us today. We've got more episode recording to do in the coming days. We need to bank up a bunch of stuff. We've been waylaid with all the various illnesses and melodies and shit that fucking have thwarted us, but we're still at it. We're not giving up yet, so we're cranking on. So you know how it goes. It's rate and subscribe, listen or die, spirit of fight, style of strong, sweet cast, Ichiban.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Ring Post Radio is the only show hosted by Ryan Knightsey and Scotty Edwards that talks about the entire world of professional wrestling. With new episodes coming out every Sunday, there is absolutely no reason to not listen to real, honest wrestling opinions from two crazy maniacs. Have a hot boy summer and listen along to Ring Post Radio every Sunday on the Countout Network.